Have a look at Genesis 48. I'm going to read from verse 1. I'll just pick a few verses, read them, and explain as I go along. It'll help us to set a foundation for what we want to say. It came to pass after these things that Joseph was told, "Indeed, your father is sick." And he took with him his two sons, Manasseh and Ephraim. Verse 8, then Joseph saw, Israel saw Joseph's sons, and he said, "Who are these?" And Joseph said to his father, "They are my sons, whom God has given me in this place." And he said, "Please bring them to me, and I will bless them." Now the eyes of Israel were dim with age, so that he could not see. Joseph brought them near him, and he kissed them and embraced them. And Israel said to Joseph, "I had not thought to see your face, but in fact God has also shown me your offspring." But Joseph brought them from beside his knees, and he bowed down with his face to the earth. Joseph took them both, Ephraim with his right hand towards Israel's left hand, and Manasseh with his left hand towards Israel's right hand, and brought them near. Then Israel stretched out his right hand and laid it on Ephraim's head, who was the younger, and his left hand on Manasseh's head, guiding his hand knowingly, for Manasseh was the firstborn. And he blessed Joseph and said, so this is a time of transition, old guy, sick, going to die. And his son brought his two sons, his grandsons, to be blessed. Now, many of us don't, we don't trust that kind of thing anymore in our Western culture, because we are culturalized so much that we don't often do biblical norm. But here is Joseph, his father's dying. He wants his sons to be blessed. So he brought his two sons to their grandfather, and Joseph, standing there, put Ephraim, the younger one, here on Joseph's right side, to Jacob's left. Manasseh on his left side to Jacob's right, so that when Jacob reaches out, he can bless the boys, but his right hand on the firstborn, his left hand on the younger one. But Jacob did something strange. Instead of reaching out that way, Jacob stretched out his hand like that, the right hand to the younger one and the left hand to the older one. Now Joseph was displeased, and he said to his father, "Don't do that. Manasseh is the older one." His father said, "Don't bother me. I know what I'm doing." Are you okay? And what we've been talking about is stretching out to imbibe. You stretch out for yourself, or you stretch out for somebody else. Last time we shared on stretching out to impart. You're not receiving something for yourself. You are releasing something from you to another person. You are imparting through the stretch. And this is a strange phenomena, but a very biblical one, that one of the foundation doctrines and pillars of the Christian faith is the laying on of hands. We've got repentance from dead works, faith towards God, doctrine of baptism, and the fourth pillar of our faith is the laying on of hands. Now, we do that so often, we minimize its value. We have people come to the altar, they get prayed for, and many people come and nothing happens, nothing changes, because firstly, they don't know what's happening. But when they come, they don't come believing. Let me say this. The blood of Jesus Christ will do you no good unless you believe. The power of the gospel will do you no good unless you believe. Hallelujah. But the power of the gospel is to anyone who believes, whether they are Maori, Samoan, Korean, wherever you're from, whether you're young or old. When you believe, God will move. God is not a respecter of people. God is a respecter of faith. And wherever God finds faith, God will move. And the Bible says, when you come for prayer, whatever you come for, those who come to God must. They must. It's not, I hope so, not wait. No, if you come to God, you must believe that God is. God lives. God exists. God is alive. That God is, and that He will reward those who seek Him. Are you okay? So, we share that many, many years later, they are no longer in Egypt, but they come to the wilderness of Kadesh Barnea. And Moses chose 12 men to go and spy out the land. And one of those men was Joshua, who was the leader of the group. And when they went, they came back with a report. And then Joshua was the one, Moses died on Mount Nebo. But Joshua was the one that took over from Moses and led the people into the promised land. Joshua was the one who received instructions to walk around the wall, and the walls were going to be destroyed. Then after the walls of Jericho were destroyed, he went over to a little place called Mangaweka, Ai. And instead of defeating Ai, who was a smaller place, Joshua got defeated because there was sin in the camp. We're not going to talk about that so much because I've got a point to make. And if I stay there, it'll take too long. But when they got defeated, Joshua fell down on his face before God. God told him the reason why. And God gave him a strategy to defeat Ai. And part of the strategy was that Joshua was to stretch out his spear. While everybody is fighting, Joshua is going to stretch out his spear towards Ai. It's not part of the fight, but he's stretching out his hand. But long before Joshua stretched out his hand, his great-great-great-great forebear stretched out his hand. See, Joshua is of the tribe of Ephraim. And when you stretch out to impart, impartation is not something that just happened for the now. Impartation is generational. Ephraim did not know that many, many years later, his great-great-great-grandson is going to be told to stretch out. But before that happened, Israel stretched out his hand. And the stretching out of those hands went from generation to generation to generation, because when God blesses us, He blesses us generationally. Paul said to Timothy, Timothy, I gave you a gift. The gift was for you to do apostolic ministry, to pastor the church in Ephesus. And I gave you that gift when I put my hand on you. Are you okay? So when you have hands laid on you, it's not a gimmick. If you believe, if you understand, something generational has just come upon your life.
Yeah.
So when we ask you this morning, can you stretch forth your hand to Martin and Tasha and the kids? That was not a Pentecostal gimmick. That is a biblical thing to do. In fact, in Acts chapter 4, when they were persecuted, they prayed and they asked God this, Lord, will you stretch forth your hand? They are asking the God of heaven to stretch forth his hand. Now, how does God from heaven stretch out his hand? Through yours. God has no more hands here but yours. And if God's going to stretch out to your neighbor, he uses your hand. If God's going to stretch out to somebody, he uses our hands to reach out. Hallelujah. But the releasing of that impartation is not confined to just you and the person you're praying for. And Paul said to Timothy, that was given to you, but I want you to know something. The genuine faith that is in you was first of all in your grandmother, then in your mother. So you went from grandmother to mother, to the boy that became the apostle and became the pastor. But it was a generational thing. Just because you are a single mother does not mean God has forgotten you. In fact, because you're a single mother, God has more to say to you. God is father to the fatherless, father of your children. And God is the defender of widows. God sets the solitary in families, and God brings out those that are bound into prosperity. He doesn't just bring you out from bondage into unbondage, if there is such a word. He brings you from bondage to prosperity. Hallelujah. So here is Timothy. It's a multi-generational faith, multi-generational blessing. When Abraham decided to live in a tent, his son lived in a tent. Then his grandson lived in a tent. And God looked down and God loved it. And between the tent and the building, you live by faith. Are you okay? So, when hands are laid on you, many times impartation comes from the laying on of hands. They shall lay hands on the sick, and the sick shall get sicker. Oh, sorry, recover. They shall lay hands on the sick, and the sick shall recover. Hallelujah. When they install seven deacons in the book of Acts, Acts chapter 6, they were nominated and then the apostles laid hands. So officers in the church were installed by the laying on of hands. Today, if you have adoption today, you go to the courthouse, you have legal papers, and then you adopt something or adopt somebody. But when you adopt in the Bible, what do? You lay hands. So Jacob said to Joseph, Manasseh and Ephraim are going to be mine. They're not yours. They're going to be my sons. They're going to be the same as Reuben and Simeon. Now, Reuben was the firstborn. Simeon was the secondborn. And here is Jacob saying, Manasseh and Ephraim are going to be my first and second born. They're going to be like Reuben and Ephraim. How did he do that? He laid hands. Hallelujah. Are you okay? Say amen.
Amen.
So the laying on of hands is a powerful thing. It imparted a gift so that a young man can be an apostolic minister. Stir up the gift that is in you that was given to you by the laying on of my hands. I prayed for thousands of people. And many times you want to wake them up. Because when they come, they don't come with faith. They come just hoping. I hope something happens. And if you come to 7 altar calls and you hope something happens and it doesn't happen, you don't want to go anymore. Why? Hope deferred makes the heart sick. How do you come? Those who believe, when you come to God, you must believe. When you come believing, hallelujah, I don't care who prays for you. We did a huge conference in Seattle, Washington. And little Rachel Anna, tiny little thing about 10, 11 years old. And I said to her, come here. So I held her hand. And we walk around and there were hundreds of people at the altar. I said, pray for him. She'll lay hands and boom, boom, boom. And he said, what's that? I held her hand so she can draw my anointing. And she prayed. And whoever she prays for fell down under the... And she was so excited. Hello? What is that? Something is imparted, but it's imparted through the laying on of hands. Hallelujah. Are you okay? Many times in Pentecostal churches, we lay hands so much, so flippantly, that almost always nothing happens. People don't come believing anymore. They just come hoping something. Hope, I hope something. I hope so. And when their hope is dashed, are you okay? But there's an impartation that comes when Paul laid hands on 12 Baptist men. Well, they're not Baptist denominationally. They were baptized with the baptism of John. But they didn't receive the Holy Ghost. So when he laid hands on them, they received the Holy Spirit. So it's possible to impart even the grace and the power of the Holy Ghost through the laying on of hands. And it can be so powerful that a strong man cannot even stand up under the glory of God. We went to Wainuiomata many years ago, and a lot of people came out. These were big people, big guys. And so I said, they did not know that people should come and catch other people, you know. And I thought, I can't let my wife be the catcher. So I said, you come pray. So she prayed, and I was the catcher. And when they started falling down, they were looking at them. Oh, look at that, look at that. Why? Because it happens. We're praying for a lady in Manurewa many years back. And God just fell on them. He was just powerful. I mean, their bodies everywhere. Literally. I mean, they were lying on top of the other. You know, God just swept through the place like a tornado. Now, I wanted to pray for this old lady. Well, she was old. Not older than me, okay? But she was a big lady. And I thought, if I pray for her, she's going to hit that floor. It's not going to be very good. So I prayed for everybody else and missed her, you know, until I saw 5 grown men behind her, including her married son who had children. So I thought, yeah, 5 guys, it's fine. So I went past her, in Jesus' name, and she went down. Might as well be no men behind her. I mean, she just took the 5 of them and now, you can't normally do that unless you punch somebody in the face. But what happened? You impart through the laying on of hands. Are you okay? So when you come for prayer, don't just look at who's going to pray for me. Just receive from God. There was a great meeting in North Shore some years back. And the guy that was leading the meeting, he called everybody that was sick and they come to the front. And then they said, I want you to come, any one of you felt, come and pray for these people. And this particular person was very angry because they actually needed a miracle. And they thought, at least he could have come down and prayed for me. So the person came over and prayed for them, and not a very nice attitude to have. You know the miracle they wanted? They wanted a new kidney. They went to see the doctor the following day. Guess what they had? A new kidney. See, he that comes to God must believe. Now, even though she did not believe, I think the guy that prayed and the anointing over the meeting. Are you okay? Say amen. Amen. Hallelujah. So impartation can come because you lay hands on people. Impartation also can come through clothing. And I don't know why, but it happens. But many times, the clothing, the cloth, the garments will carry the anointing better than other objects. So in the life of Paul, the Bible says that aprons and handkerchiefs from his body, they were the sweat gear, you know, that they took that and they laid on sick people and laid it on people that were demonized, and they got healed and the demons came out. Today we try and cast out demons, and sometimes they go, sometimes they don't. But here in the ministry of the Apostle Paul, the handkerchiefs cast demons out. Why? Because they carry the anointing. Here comes Elijah. Elijah is the prophet that wanted to die, but is still alive. How do you want to die and then you don't die? He's still alive. He's still running around up in heaven. He's not dead yet. It's appointed unto man once to die, and after that, the judgment. So Elijah still has to die because it's his appointment to die. But he's not dead yet. He wanted to die, but he's still alive. So he comes along the other day, and here is a young man. He's plowing with 12 yokes of oxen. Plowing the field when the field has not been rained on for 3.5 years. So it was solid as rock. So he probably got the first yoke and he didn't even dig in. So he got another yoke. So until he had 12 yokes of oxen. And he's trying to dig in this solid ground because he heard it's been raining up north. In fact, it's been raining for 6 weeks up north, 5 to 6 weeks. And it's coming down, but it hasn't come down yet. And here comes Elijah, who called that rain down when he said to his servant, go up and look out. And his servant said, there's just a little thing, but don't put your faith up. There's just small. Don't put your faith up. There's no anointing in that church. Don't put your faith up. And he said, go tell Ahab. Get on his mule, his chariot, the king's horses. This chariot pulled by the king's horses. Tell him to go home. Have a cup of tea. It's going to rain. And then it started to rain. And now down south, this young man is plowing with hope, knowing that the rain is coming. And it'll be no good if the rain comes if he's not plowed. So he's plowing. And Elijah walked past. You know what he did? he threw his jacket on him. And when he did, that young man broke up the plow, barbecued the oxen, had a good party with his friends, and then followed the man with the jacket. And he followed that man for something like 8 to 13 years, all because of the jacket. Are you all right? So when Elijah was going to be taken up to heaven, and Elisha followed him, and Elijah said, stay here in Gilgal. He said, no, I'm coming. Stay here in Bethel. No, I'm coming. Stay here in Jericho. No, I'm coming. Stay here. I'm coming. Why? He's looking for something. So they crossed the River Jordan, and the only two pairs of eyes that saw the Jordan open was Elijah and Elisha. Now, Elisha had heard that the guy Moses opened the Red Sea. But that, oh. Then he heard that Joshua opened the Jordan. But now, you know, dong. Hello? Now his own eyes see that his father in the faith now opens the Jordan. And when they got to the other side, he said, what do you want? You didn't stay in Gilgal, you didn't stay in Bethel, you didn't stay in Jericho. What do you want? He said, I want your anointing. I want twice of your anointing. I'll ask you a question. Where was the anointing? In the jacket. So clothing can carry the anointing and impart the anointing. You heard the prophetic word that Sandy said this morning over her son. God gives you beauty for ashes, oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise. Praise for us is no longer a garment, literal garment, but praise in the Old Testament was actually a garment. The garment of praise will kill the spirit of depression. The garment of praise will cast out the devil of oppression. The garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. But there's an anointing in a garment, and sometimes the garments carry the anointing. I wonder why they divided his garments at the foot of the cross. Are you okay? We were preaching in one place, and there was a man there. We knew him, and he was a very, very highly educated man in the area of agriculture. He had probably the largest Pentecostal congregation in his country. And he came to the meeting. We were speaking at a very small church, but he knew we were there, and he came to every single meeting. And on a Sunday morning, he turned up, and I thought, what's he doing here? So I asked him, don't you have a service this morning? He said, oh, yeah. My pastors and my elders are looking after the service, but I wanted to come and see you. I wanted to come and hear you. I had a nice suit on. It was a maroon striped suit. It was tailor-made by a tailor from the Philippines. So I said, you come faithfully for this past week. I want to give you something. Well, I gave him my jacket. I couldn't give him my trousers because it'll be undignified. But I said to him, if you come to the airport tomorrow, I'll give you the trousers, make a nice suit for you. So he wore it. I prayed for him. And that night we didn't have a service. And the morning, Monday morning, we were leaving. And he turned up at the airport. So I'd folded the pair of trousers and given it to him, and this is what he said. I walked into our service last night. The place was packed. I was wearing your jacket, and everybody knew something was about to happen. And he said, and then I began to minister, and everything that was not bolted down fell under the power of God. Was it me? No. But he understood a principle. He understood something. Hallelujah. Are you all right? Say amen. So, the anointing can be imparted through clothing, garments. When Fear and I travel a lot, you know that. We travel all over the world. We sleep in nice hotels, in terrible places. It doesn't matter, you know. If you've got a terrible bed, you know that it's not the end. If you've got a nice bed, you also know it's not the end. But you learn to be in a place of plenty, you also learn to be poor. But one of the things we always do when we get into a hotel, regardless of the country you're in, we go in, we pray for our room. Why? Because there are beddings and clothing and garments in those places. And you don't know who's been wearing them before you got there. There are towels. Are you okay? So we pray. Why are we scared? No, we're not. We're just wise. Some people just get into a place and just, and then you wonder why you do things in a hotel room that you would not even do in your own home. Why? Because you never know who's used that bed before. What did Elijah do when the boy died? Put him on his bed. What did Elisha do when the boy died? Put him on his bed. What do you do when you go to the hotel room from now on? Pray. Because it's not just a good anointing. There are bad anointings. That's why the Bible says bad company corrupts good morals. Why? Because of the companionship that you keep. Are you okay? Say amen. Amen. Hallelujah. I'm going to be quick because I've only got 10 minutes. All right. Sometimes the anointing is imparted by just being in the presence of somebody. If you want to be somebody in ministry, then you have to be close to that person, being in their presence. Hallelujah. Now, it's difficult when you are in the presence of royalty, then you go to be in the presence of something else. So, Paul said, you can't partake of the table of the Lord and then after that go partake of the table of a demon. Why? Because there's a presence there. Our problem sometimes is we wonder why we have problems. It's because one day we partake of the table of the Lord, everything's hunky-dory, and then when we go and partake of somebody else's table that you shouldn't partake of.